The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. On Thursday, September 13th, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee voted to approve the nomination of James W. Carroll Jr. as the director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, our new drug czar. That nomination now goes to the floor of the Senate, where it is likely to be approved by the majority GOP Senate. This nomination kind of slid under the radar. Not a lot of people were aware that he had had a confirmation hearing recently. So today we're going to learn more about James W. Carroll Jr. in his own words. First up, let's have his opening statement from the Senate confirmation hearing.
President has made addressing drug demand and the opioid crisis a top priority of his administration. In March, I was with the president in New Hampshire when he announced the opioid initiative, which is designed to address the driving forces of this crisis. Through ONDCP, we intend to reduce demand through education and preventing overprescribing. We need to ensure that those struggling with addiction can access the evidence-based treatment and recovery supports that they need. We need to cut off the supply of illicit drugs and bring drug traffickers to justice. I am very passionate about turning the tide on this crisis, and I bring both professional experience as well as personal compassion to this job. Professionally, I began my job as a prosecutor, taking drug dealers off the streets, and then had experience at the state and federal level as well. And finally, in management at a Fortune 10 company, here is the Washington Council in D.C. for Ford Motor Company. And this gives me a unique perspective in coordinating and leading, managing the country's response to drug threats. But personally, like so many families, I too have a family member that has suffered from addiction. I spent time with this family member while they were first in a detox facility and then in treatment, and this really personalized the drug epidemic for me. Seeing someone I love struggle with addiction inspired me to do everything I can to make sure more families don't have to watch their loved ones engage in this fight. Since joining ONDCP in February, I've been focused on addressing the problem with a whole-of-government approach. For prevention, we've recently launched a national public education campaign to close the knowledge gap on the dangers of opioids. ONDCP funds 719 drug-free community coalitions working across the country in all 50 states, where we have 50, and we just recently released, thanks to members of Congress and this committee, 55 additional grants just 3 weeks ago, totaling almost $3 million going into coalitions across the country. For treatment and recovery, I've traveled to treatment centers around the country to see the strain the opioid crisis and other drugs are causing on our families and communities. The administration has sent nearly $1 billion to the states for targeting their response. And I really want to thank Congress for their incredible commitment to this issue, including meeting the president's request to provide $6 billion in funding over the next 2 years. On the law enforcement side, I've created the first new high-intensity drug trafficking area since 2001 to address the unique drug trafficking challenges facing Alaska. We now have a HIDTA presence in all 50 states. We've worked hard with Congress and found efficiencies in ONDCP for another $40 million to go to the HIDTAs in your states all across the country to help fund the HIDTAs. So we'll be announcing that in the next few weeks. Additionally, I've recently visited the southwest border to see the challenges we face with drug smuggling, and we oversaw the release of a fentanyl safety video for first responders so they know how to properly prepare when they encounter this dangerous drug. I am here today because the president has charged me with making sure drug overdoses go down, access to treatment goes up, and drug traffickers are brought to justice. I believe in a strong ONDCP that uses every ounce of authority that you give it to effectively coordinate drug control policy, including fully funding our HIDTAs and our DFCs. Working together, we can save lives, we can strengthen our communities, and we can safeguard our country. if I have the honor of being confirmed, I vow to be relentless in my work to prevent more Archies, Emmets, and Catherines from becoming victims. Thank you.
That was James W. Carroll Jr. with his opening statement at his confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee is the completely wrong place for the Office of National Drug Control Policy confirmation hearings. They should be looked at by either a healthcare-related committee or something that looked at government operations as a whole. After all, the purpose of ONDCP is to pull in all government agencies for work on drug control policies. Unfortunately, the reality is that we consider drug control policy to be merely law enforcement, which is why we give such short shrift to treatment and to prevention. And so, it's in the hands of the Judiciary Committee. Let's go to some of the questions and Carroll's answers from the committee hearing. Unfortunately, they jammed James Carroll's hearing in with three other people who are all federal judge nominees. The Senate Judiciary Committee, as you could imagine, was a lot more concerned about how these judges, who will be, if they're confirmed, given lifetime appointments, they were more concerned about how these judges were going to interpret various laws and various rulings from the Supreme Court. There's also the Kavanaugh nomination, which is creating a lot of consternation and taking up a great deal of time within the Senate Judiciary Committee. But anyway, I digress. Let's get into James Carroll's nomination. The first voice is Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana.
Do you know where Kermit, West Virginia is?
I know of Kermit, West Virginia, yes, sir. And I know of the opioid crisis that they face there and overprescription being an issue.
It's a town of about 400 people, is that right?
Yes, sir. It's what I've read.
And over a two-year period, there were 9 million prescription pain relievers prescribed.
Correct.
31 pills a day for every man, woman, and child. I've seen data that shows on an annualized basis there were 14 billion prescription pain pills prescribed in America. We've only got 323 million people. It's about 41 a day for everybody. Now, the DEA was implicit in this, was it not?
Obviously, you know, I was not serving in this capacity at that time.
I didn't ask you that.
Yes, sir.
I want to get out of la-la land here. Now, we got a problem.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that prescription pain medication is being overproduced and overprescribed and overdispensed. And somebody's making a hell of a lot of money off of it.
I couldn't agree more with everything you just said.
Now, here's my question.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do about it? Who are you going to fire?
Who's the
president going to fire?
As you know, Senator, from talking, you're very involved in this issue. I sincerely appreciate that. One of the things that we need to do is hold pharmaceutical companies accountable for
this. How are you going to do that?
Thankfully, we do have a strong Department of Justice. I would defer to them the legal action.
You're going to be the drug czar. I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Yes, sir. What we need to do in terms of being in the drug czar is take the action and coordinate it across the federal government to make certain that pharmaceutical companies are held accountable.
So we're going to have coordinated action. We're going to hold people accountable. How are you going to do that? Look, I don't mean to pick on you.
You're not picking on
me. But I've had enough. Now, I've sat here for 17 months and listened to testimony that part of the problem is the federal government, that some people aren't doing their jobs. And your job is to make sure they do their jobs. I would suggest to you that if they don't do their jobs, just a thought, you fire somebody. It's amazing.
It works.
What a motivating factor it will be for everybody else.
What's also I found.
But I want to know in concrete terms what the federal government is going to do to stop certain prescription drug companies from overproducing and hooking our people.
Thank you, Senator. What I need to do, if confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the director of ONDCP, is to hold accountable the pharmaceutical executives who
downplayed... How are you going to do that?
the risk. What we need to do is have a coordinated effort with DEA.
Why don't you call a press conference and name companies and names? And say, here's what we found. These companies they sold 9 million pills to people over a two-year period in a town of 400 people. And here's who did it.
One thing that we need to do, and with the help of the Senate, is increase the PDMPs, the monitoring systems that allow insight into how many medications are actually being dispersed into a county, into a pharmacy. We need to strip the privacy information away from the individuals. We don't, in some situations, privacy laws dictate that we don't have access to the names of the patients that are receiving this.
Okay, let me stop you, Mr. Carroll, because I'm going to run out of time. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write me a letter, not from La La Land in Washington, but from the real world. And I need you to say, here specifically is what I'm going to do to rein in this overproduction. And please don't use words like accountability and, you know, I want to know specifically. I'm just happy, tired of the platitudes.
I'm happy to submit that to the board. Okay. Yourself.
That was Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana questioning James W. Carroll Jr., who is about to become our next drug czar. Now, let's hear from Senator Richard Durbin, Democrat from Illinois. He's followed by Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and then Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut.
Chairman, let me just add one thing. I think we're hearing with Mr. Carroll. I really believe the point made by Senator Kennedy is one we all share. Not to take anything away from the nominees and their important work that they will do for our country. Mr. Carroll's involvement in this national opioid drug crisis merits much more than the few minutes that we're being given.
Now, duly noted. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, everyone. Congratulations on your nominations. Thank you for being here today. Mr. Carroll, we have, as a country, been having an ongoing discussion about the opioid crisis and how to combat it. In your judgment, what are the most important steps we need to take to turn around this epidemic?
There are three things that we need to do. We need to work on controlling the supply of drugs that are coming into our country. We are seeing record production, record cultivation of the biologic products, the plants, the heroin, poppy fields coming from that, the cocaine, the coca fields that are producing that. They are in record numbers now coming into the United States, and we need to work on interdicting those drugs. We need to start at the source countries and start tracking them all the way here so we can block them coming into our country. What we need to do is work on the prevention aspects of this as well through the education of prescribers, making sure that they understand the dangers of opioids and that they're conveying that to the patients themselves. What we also need is an awareness campaign. We did release about a month ago 4 new public service announcements targeting the youth who are the most at risk from the opioid abuse problem that's facing our country that you just mentioned. And so an education campaign based on them and letting them know the risk associated with it. And then finally, we need to embrace recovery and treatment for those individuals that are already impacted by this and making sure that they can access help and get the long-term support that they need.
In your judgment, what is the role of border security in terms of dealing with this crisis?
In terms of, border security generally, the issue is making sure that illicit narcotics are not coming through our country. And they're coming in multiple ways. The border security we're seeing for fentanyl, which is killing so many people today, is primarily coming from China and crossing our borders through the U.S. Postal Inspection Services. I appreciate the legislation that Congress has enacted to aid them in their efforts there to stop fentanyl. What we also need to do is to work on the border security, both on the land border coming up from Mexico, including coming down from Canada as well. We can't ignore the northern border. And then finally at sea, through the Department of Defense and really the Coast Guard, we're very active in interdicting at sea. And so we have a great support system, across the way.
As you and I have discussed before, I've spent time meeting with a number of local law enforcement officials, in Texas, and there's a long history of close cooperation and collaboration between state and local law enforcement officials and federal agencies, all combating illegal drugs. Can you share your view of the level of cooperation and collaboration that is appropriate, that we should be working towards, and what you see as the role of ONDCP in terms of furthering that cooperation and collaboration?
I'm very proud of the work that ONDCP does at that coordination level, both between local, state, tribal, and federal partners. Our high-intensity drug trafficking areas is really designed to do that, and I appreciate Congress's support, and your support, Senator, particularly, for understanding the value of those. In 2018, we spent $280 million across the country with now 30 HIDAs, including the most recent one that I released about 6 weeks ago. What we do at ONDCP is we hold each one of those accountable every year. They come in, share with us their metrics in terms of exactly how they're performing and what they're doing. And so what that represents is 22,000 officers at the tribal, local, state, and federal level involved, 500 different agencies, with the results of 3,000 drug trafficking organizations dismantled, $16 billion in drugs removed, and 90,000 arrests, plus the deconfliction of incidents to make sure there's not a blue-on-blue situation. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that. I agree that the HIDAs in particular have been quite effective and an excellent example of the cooperation we should be seeing across law enforcement. My last question. So when you and I visited in my office, I discovered a glaring and even shocking lack of qualification in one regard, which is that you had never seen the show Narcos. Have you corrected that yet?
Yes, I have started watching Narcos, and I think we talked about The Trade, and you were going to start watching that one. So
I said tongue-in-cheek, I couldn't vote to confirm you without having seen that, so I'm glad that you have corrected that failing. Good luck to you, and thank you for taking on this very important job.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Blumenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to vote for you, Mr. Carroll, but that blatant pandering to Senator Cruz really deeply troubles me.
Yeah, I watch too much TV, I guess. I'm sorry, sir.
But I would agree with our colleague, Senator Durbin, that your nomination really deserves a separate hearing, not because there are any controversial issues in your background or your qualifications, but because the topic of your service will be so important. So I hope you will come back to the committee and that perhaps, Mr. Chairman, you can advise our chairman that we really should hear from you separately.
You're listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. We're listening to some of the confirmation hearing and some comments from James W. Carroll Jr., the next drug czar. His nomination was approved by the U.S. Senate's Judiciary Committee on an 18-3 vote on September 13th. His nomination now goes to the Senate floor, where it's expected he will breeze through. We just heard Senators John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, Richard Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, speaking to or asking questions of James Carroll. Now, let's listen to this exchange between Senator Christopher Coons, Democrat of Delaware, and James Carroll.
We have a vote underway in less than 5 minutes for us to vote, and we have to get from here to there. So I'll try and be concise. I have a wide range of questions I had hoped to ask all of you, but I've run out of time to do that. Mr. Carroll, briefly, I'll just reinforce what's been said by others, that the role of ONDCP is incredibly important. Dr. Botticelli was kind enough to come and visit the state of Delaware. When I was responsible for a county police department, we worked very hard to get a HIDA for Delaware. That's now happened in recent years, and it's had very positive impact on our work against drug problems in our home community. In fact, our U.S. attorney has recently praised the assistance of Liberty Mid-Atlantic, HIDA, and I'd be grateful for the chance to meet with you. I apologize, my schedule didn't allow it before this hearing, and if possible, to welcome you to Delaware for a further conversation.
I would like that.
Your previous experience is quite different from some of your predecessors in ONDCP, and I'd like the opportunity personally to work through the strategy you've demonstrated in response to questioning familiarity with the relevant issues. But let me just ask you, too, if I could quickly. It's striking to me that the president's budget proposal would have relocated HIDA, a highly effective program under ONDCP for many years, to DEA. Do you believe the HIDA program should be moved out of ONDCP, and do you think that would improve its effectiveness?
What I can tell you, and I think we'll answer the question directly, hopefully, is that ONDCP did not have a nominee at the time the budget was discussed. Had I been there, I would have pounded the table to keep HIDAs at ONDCP.
Good.
Since going, taking this position, I've met with OMB. They have heard the concerns raised by Congress, the American people, and many others, including the HIDAs directly, about the importance of keeping them at ONDCP.
Good.
And they're going to, the official comment from what ONDCP was that they will reevaluate this in 2020. So this is, I don't think, a priority at all for OMB at this point.
Glad to hear it. I'll submit a question for the record about a GAO study on synthetic opioids and how we can improve performance metrics, and look forward to meeting with you.
That was Senator Christopher Coons questioning James W. Carroll Jr. at Carroll's confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Coons, Blumenthal, Durbin, and Senator Kennedy all expressed concern that not enough time was being given to Carroll's nomination. Having been jammed onto a panel alongside three federal judge nominees, they did not take time to question Carroll about his ideas, about his plans, about his philosophy. They had very little time. We are getting basically everything that they had to say. The nomination was put to a roll call vote finally on September 13th. Here's that vote.
The clerk will call the roll on James Carroll for National Drug Control Policy.
Mr. Hatch.
Aye.
Mr. Graham.
Aye.
Mr. Cornyn.
Aye.
Mr. Lee.
Aye.
Mr. Cruz.
Aye.
Mr. Sass.
Aye by proxy.
Mr. Quake.
Aye by proxy.
Mr. Crapo.
Aye.
Mr. Tillis.
Aye by proxy.
Mr. Kennedy.
Aye by proxy.
Mrs. Feinstein.
Aye.
Mr. Leahy.
Aye by proxy.
Mr. Durbin.
Aye by proxy.
Mr. Whitehouse.
Aye by proxy.
Ms. Klobuchar.
Aye by proxy.
Mr. Coons.
Aye.
Mr. Blumenthal.
Aye.
Ms. Hirono.
No.
Mr. Booker.
No.
Ms. Harris.
No by proxy.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 18 yeas, 3 nays.
By the vote of 18 positive votes, James Carroll is reported to the floor.
So as you've just heard, the Senate Judiciary Committee on September 13th voted 18-3 to approve the nomination of James W. Carroll Jr., former White House Deputy Chief of Staff, to the position of Director, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the Drug Czar. Those three no votes came from Senator Cory Gardner, Democrat of New Jersey, Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat of California, and Senator Mazie Hirono, Democrat of Hawaii, three principled members of the U.S. Senate. Unfortunately, James W. Carroll Jr., an unqualified waste of space, will be confirmed as the Drug Czar. On Friday, November 14th, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration released the new National Survey on Drug Use and Health. That's their annual survey of drug use numbers, prevalence, trends, etc. James Carroll was one of the first voices on their recorded presentation, so let's hear what James Carroll had to say about NISTA and drug policy. This is from a video released by SAMHSA on September 14th, the day after the Senate Judiciary Committee approved his nomination.
Thank you, Secretary Azar, to HHS and SAMHSA for conducting this important research, which provides a snapshot of Americans' drug use. This research shows us that more Americans are using drugs than they did 2 years ago. Last year, we lost more than 72,000 people to drug overdose. heroin and cocaine are being laced with other substances like fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid. And fentanyl is being pressed into counterfeit prescription pills, which can be mistaken for legitimate medications. This new data shows that opioid abuse is remaining constant, while use of marijuana, cocaine, and methamphetamine are all up. So we aren't just in an opioid crisis, it's an addiction crisis. I just returned from Colombia, where I met with President Duque, the new president of Colombia, about the skyrocketing coca cultivation and cocaine production, which is flooding our streets. The new data we're discussing today is consistent with an increasing cocaine availability, and it's troubling. What's more troubling is that this rise in cocaine use is killing more Americans. The good news is that we have a real opportunity to make a difference here, as I am encouraged by President Duque's commitment to fight cocaine production. The same is true for Mexico. We've been working with the Mexican government to reduce the flow of illicit drugs across the southwest border, and the Mexicans have elected a new president, and we'll work with him to address his country's drug problem. So by working with the new governments to control, cut the flow of drugs headed for the U.S., we will save lives. But we also have to change hearts and minds. That's why, as part of the President's Opioids Initiative, the White House launched an awareness campaign this summer. I meet a lot of parents who have lost children to drug misuse, and too many of them tell me the same thing. I didn't know. The victims of addiction didn't know what they were up against. Every American needs to know the truth about opioids so we can spread the truth. The ads are available online at opioidsthetruth.com, and new ads will be released in the coming months. This is just one part of the administration's tireless work to address drug abuse and this serious crisis. Preventing drug use in the first place will help us stop more people from going down this road. 2 weeks ago, the president announced record funding for the Drug-Free Community Support Program. This program brings together all sectors of the community to prevent youth drug use across all 50 states. And this program helps turn these drug use trends around. Because of their work, 98% of middle school students, 95% of high school students in drug-free communities report they have not misused prescription drugs in the past 30 days. The efforts by the federal government, local coalitions, and communities are starting to be reflected in the data. Young adults aged 18 to 25 are using fewer opioids than they were 2 years ago, so the message is beginning to get through to them. But as this data shows, there's still a lot more to do, and the president, ONDCP, HHS, and communities all across the country are working hard to save lives, strengthen our communities, and safeguard our country.
That was James Carroll. He is about to become the new drug czar. And that's it for this week. I want to thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Executive producer of the Drug Truth Network is Dean Becker. Drug Truth Network programs are available by podcast. The URLs to subscribe are on the network homepage at drugtruth.net. Drug Truth Network has a Facebook page. Please give it a like. Drug War Facts has a Facebook page, too. Please give it a like and share it with friends. Remember, knowledge is power. And speaking of knowledge, January 22 through 27 in 2019, the National Institute on Drug Abuse holds its annual propaganda exercise aimed at young people. That's their National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. For now, for the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.